anything and everything.
Do you ever wonder how to? Do you ever wonder why?
About anything and everything. Then Dorice is your guide. Anything and everything will open your mind. Anything and everything with Dorice. Anything and everything with Dorice is online. Remember.
Remember.
Anything and everything with Dorice.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. You are listening to the Anything and Everything with Dorice podcast, and I am your host, Dorice. This episode is brought to you by WYSK Spark Radio, where they play uplifting music to get you through the day. You can find it on Live 365 Spark Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I hope you're feeling blessed today. Well, I'm at it again. More reasons we should leave that addicting sugar alone. Why is sugar so toxic to our body? Listen to what this doctor says. In 1957, Dr. William Cotto Martin tried to answer the question, when is a food a food and when is it a poison? His working definition of poison was, medically, any substance applied to the body, ingested, or developed within the body, which causes or may cause disease. Physically, any substance which inhibits the activity of a catalyst, which is a minor substance, chemical, or enzyme that activates a reaction. The dictionary gives an even broader definition for poison: to exert a harmful influence on or to pervert. Dr. Martin classified refined sugar as a poison because it has been depleted of its life forces, vitamins, and minerals. What is left consists of pure, refined carbohydrates. The body cannot utilize this refined starch and carbohydrate unless the depleted proteins, vitamins, and minerals are present. Nature supplies these elements in each plant in quantities sufficient to metabolize the carbohydrate in that particular plant. There is no excess for other added carbs. Incomplete carbohydrate metabolism results in the formation of toxic metabolite such as pyruvic acid and abnormal sugars containing 5 carbon atoms. Pyruvic acid accumulates in the brain and nervous system and the abnormal sugars in the red blood cells. These toxic metabolites interfere with the respiration of the cells. They cannot get sufficient oxygen to survive and function normally. In time, some of the cells die. This interferes with the function of a part of the body and is the beginning of degenerative disease. Refined sugar is lethal when ingested by humans because it provides only that which nutritionists describe as empty or naked calories. It lacks the natural minerals which are present in the sugar beet or cane. In addition, sugar is worse than nothing, because it drains and leaches the body of precious vitamins and minerals through the demand of its digestion, detoxification, and elimination, making upon one's entire system. So essential is balance to our bodies that we have many ways to provide against the sudden shock of a heavy intake of sugar. Minerals such as sodium from salt, potassium and magnesium from vegetables, and calcium from the bones are mobilized and used in chemical transmutation. Neutral acids are produced, which attempt to return the acid-alkaline balance factor of the blood to a more normal state. Sugar taken every day produces a continuously over acid condition, and more minerals are required from deep in the body in the attempt to rectify the imbalance. Finally, in order to protect the blood, So much calcium is taken from the bones and teeth that decay and general weakening begin. And parents wonder why Johnny had bad teeth even when he brushes them all the time. Excess sugar eventually affects every organ in the body. Initially, it is stored in the liver in a form of glucose, glycogen. Since the liver's capacity is limited, a daily intake of refined sugar above the required amount of natural sugar soon makes the liver expand like a balloon. When the liver is filled to its maximum capacity, the excess glycogen is returned to the blood in a form of fatty acids. These are taken to every part of the body and stored in the most inactive areas, the belly, the buttocks, the breast, and the thighs. When these comparatively harmless places are completely filled, fatty acids are then distributed among active organs, such as the heart and kidneys. These begin to slow down. Finally, their tissues degenerate and turn to fat. The whole body is affected by their reduced ability, and abnormal blood pressure is created. The parasympathetic nervous system is affected, and organs governed by it, such as the small brain, become inactive or paralyzed. Normal brain function is rarely thought of as being as biologic as digestion. The circulatory and lymphatic systems are invaded, and the quality of the red corpuscles starts to change. An overabundance of white cells occurs, and the creation of tissue becomes slower. Our body's tolerance and immunizing power becomes more limited, so we cannot respond properly to extreme attacks, whether they be cold, heat, mosquitoes, or whatever. Excessive sugar has a strong mal-effect on the functioning of the brain. The key to orderly brain function is glutamic acid, a vital compound found in many vegetables. The B vitamins play a major role in dividing glutamic acid into antagonistic complementary compounds, which produce a proceed or control response in the brain. B vitamins are also manufactured by symbiotic bacteria, which live in our intestines. When refined sugar is taken daily, these bacteria wither and die, and our stock of B vitamins gets exceptionally low. Too much sugar makes one sleepy, and our ability to calculate and remember is lost. Sugar is harmful to both humans and animals. Shipwrecked sailors who ate and drank nothing but sugar and rum for 9 days surely went through some of this trauma. The tales they had to tell created a big public relations problem for the sugar pushers. This incident occurred when a vessel carrying a cargo of sugar was shipwrecked in 1793. The 5 surviving sailors were finally rescued after being marooned for 9 days. They were in a wasted condition due to starvation, having consumed nothing but sugar and rum. The eminent French physiologist F. McGindy was inspired by that incident to conduct a series of experiments with animals, the results of which he published in 1816. In the experiments, he fed dogs a diet of sugar or olive oil and water. All the dogs wasted and died. The shipwrecked sailors and the French physiologist's experimental dogs proved the same point. As a steady diet, sugar is worse than nothing. Plain water can keep you alive for quite some time. Sugar and water can kill you. Humans and animals are unable to subsist on a diet of sugar. The dead dogs in Professor McGindy's laboratory alerted the sugar industry to the hazards of free scientific inquiry. From that day to this, the sugar industry has invested millions of dollars in behind-the-scenes subsidized science. The best scientific names that money could buy have been hired in the hope that they could one day come up with something at least pseudoscientific in the way of glad tidings about sugar. It has been proved, however, that sugar is a major factor in dental decay. Sugar in a person's diet does cause obesity, and removal of sugar from diets has cured symptoms of crippling worldwide diseases such as diabetes, cancer, and heart illnesses. Sir Frederick Banting, the co-discoverer of insulin, noticed in 1929 in Panama that among sugar plantation owners who ate large amounts of their refined products, diabetes was common. Among native cane cutters who only got to chew the raw cane, he saw no diabetes. However, the story of the public relations attempts on the part of the sugar manufacturers began in Britain in 1808 when the Committee of the West India reported to the House of Commons that a prize of 25 guineas had been offered to anyone who would come up with the most satisfactory experiments to prove that unrefined sugar was good for feeding and fattening oxen, cows, hogs, and sheep. Food for animals is often seasonal and always expensive. Sugar by then was dirt cheap. People were not eating it fast enough. Naturally, the attempt to feed livestock with sugar and molasses in England in 1808 was a disaster. When the Committee on West India made its fourth report to the House of Commons, one member of Parliament, John Kirwan, reported that he had tried to feed sugar and molasses to calves without success. He suggested that perhaps someone should try again by sneaking sugar and molasses into skimmed milk. Had anything come of that? You can be sure the West Indian sugar merchants would have spread the news around the world. After this singular lack of success in pushing sugar in cow pastures, the West Indian sugar merchants gave up. With undaunted zeal for increasing the market demand for the most important agricultural product of the West Indies, the Committee of West India was reduced to a tactic that has served the sugar pushers for almost 200 years. Irrelevant and transparently silly testimonials from far away, inaccessible people with some kind of scientific credentials. One early commentator called them hired consciences. The House of Commons committee was so hard up for local cheerleaders on the sugar question, it was reduced to quoting a doctor from far away, Philadelphia, a leader of the recent American colonial rebellion. The great Dr. Rush of Philadelphia is reported to have said that sugar contains more nutrients in the same bulk than any other known substance, emphasis added. At the same time, the same Dr. Rush was preaching that masturbation was the cause of insanity. If a weasel-worded statement like that was quoted, one can be sure no animal doctor could be found in Britain who would recommend sugar for the care and feeding of cows, pigs, or sheep. While preparing his epochal volume, A History of Nutrition, published in 1957, Professor E.V. McCollum from Johns Hopkins University, sometimes called America's foremost nutritionist and certainly a pioneer in the field, reviewed approximately 200,000 published scientific papers recording experiments with food, their properties, their utilization, and their effects on animals and men. The material covered the period from the mid-18th century to 1940. From this great repository of scientific inquiry,
McCollum selected those experiments which he regarded as scientific to relate the story of progress in discovering human error in this segment of science of nutrition. Professor McCollum failed to record a single controlled scientific experiment with sugar between 1816 and 1940. Now you know why sugar is toxic to our bodies. And remember, if we could only go without sugar for just 2 weeks, not only would we feel great, but we probably would not have the urges for it that we have at this time. Now that you know what your body is going through, would you agree that you are probably addicted to sugar and didn't even know it all this time? Remember, sweets are not treats for children, animals, adults. It's just not good for any of us. Thank you for listening, and God bless.
Be sure to check out our show notes below, where you can donate to support us, check our references, or see what else we offer. Thank you for listening, and God bless.